So I love stories in all of their forms. When I hear someone's story, whether it's a short, funny one or an old, long, cherished memory, I feel like I'm being invited into part of their lives that no one else really gets to see. When people tell stories, they're transformed. No longer timid and unsure, but suddenly vibrant and animated or steadied and focused. It's a form of human communication that reveals both fact and feeling, truth and mystery, joy and longing, all at the same time. Richard Kearney says that telling stories is as basic to human beings as eating. More so, in fact. For while food makes us live, stories are what makes our lives worth living. Psychologists say that stories are encoded in our DNA from the first cave paintings over 27,000 years ago to novels, movies, YouTube offerings, toasts at weddings, or sitting around a campfire. We tell and listen to stories all of our lives. From the time we're little kids on the playground talking about the cartoons we saw or the dreams we had in our imaginations, to going out after work with coworkers to let off a little steam, share thoughts about the day, our jobs, our families. We are wired for stories. And today, we get the beginning of the Jesus story, which opens with the simplest and most poignant of all the opening lines of any story ever. Jesus comes onto the stage or screen or page or earth, turns to face his audience, us, and says simply, "What are you looking for?" These are the first words Jesus speaks out loud in the Gospel of John. What are you looking for? This is the question that all of our stories, all of our lives is ultimately about. And there are so many answers to this question. What are we looking for? Love, money, security, happiness, friendship, power, respite, meaning, purpose, direction, clarity, hope, justice, peace. How do we even begin to answer a question like this? What are you looking for? I mean, we're looking for so many things so much of the time. We're trying to find everything from Nemo to infinity. So what are we looking for? This is what Jesus asks the two disciples who are lucky or unlucky enough to be his co-stars in this first of many stories in the Gospel of John. And their answer? Rabbi, where are you staying? And at first it seems like a really odd thing to answer a question with a question and to answer such a big question with such a mundane question. But actually it's the best possible response. Jesus asks, what are you looking for? And the disciples answer essentially, you. Where are you staying? We're looking for the place where you will be found. We've been looking, hoping, waiting for you. So Jesus invites these disciples to come and see where he's staying. In the Greek, where he's abiding. And they're surprised to discover that it's with them. Nowhere fancy or hidden, no locked doors or high walls. They're looking for Jesus, and Jesus is with them. And I wonder if this isn't ultimately the punchline for every story we've ever told or been told. What we're looking for in all of our living, really, is Jesus. And Jesus is with us. Recently, a prospective student came to visit the seminary. We went out to lunch at a local Irish pub to talk about what she wanted to study, what she was hoping to accomplish, her discernment process. And I asked her to tell me her story, which is one of the first things I ask anyone who comes to visit the seminary. It usually gets pretty quickly to the point. What's your story? But she said, oh, I'm not a very good storyteller, and I'm afraid that even in my 60s now, I'm not sure what I want to do with my life. But ever since my husband died, I've been thinking about visiting the seminary, and I'm not sure why, so here I am. Okay, I said. Forget about all the normal admissions questions, then. Tell me about your husband. Over the next hour, she told me how she met her husband when they were 16, and they married at 21, and they had two kids. They were blessed, she said. Happy. Her husband always supported her love of learning, and so he encouraged her to get her bachelor's degree and then master's in education, despite the fact that she was a very content stay-at-home mom. Her kids are grown now, and she's a grandma several times over, and she loves her job as a teacher. She told me how friends and family rallied around her when her husband started to get sick, how it was a long illness, painful for him and for all those who loved him, who were watching him go through it. She spoke in effortless poetic prose about hospice workers and healthcare providers. And it was part brilliant storytelling, part hymn of praise. And then she got to the end of the story. It's the part where her husband dies. She said, I read somewhere that it helps to give people permission to go, to look for the light or whatever it is, and to go there. So the day the doctor sent him home from hospice, I sat there with him, holding his hand in our bedroom, and I said, it's okay. Look for the light and go there. We were both so tired, she said. The hospice team was scheduled to stop by that afternoon, and the first to arrive was the social worker. They were talking about practical matters when the social worker noticed that the woman's husband's breathing had changed. So she says, I went to him and I grabbed his hand and I said to him again, it's okay. Look for the light and go there. And then he died. After all that time, that was it, she said. But what I remember most about that afternoon is that the social worker stayed with me long past when all the practicalities had been sorted. The social worker stayed until the nurse got there, and the nurse stayed until the chaplain got there, and the chaplain stayed until the family got there. I was never left alone. My husband was never left alone. I'm so grateful for that. I think about it every day. I imagine both she and her husband were looking for so many things that day. Healing, wholeness, comfort. Both of them found Jesus. One for the other, another for the one, and so on. By the time this dear woman was done telling the story she didn't think she had, I was pushing back tears. You're a beautiful storyteller, I told her. I also think you're going to be an excellent hospice chaplain. And she will be. What are you looking for? Jesus asks. We have so many answers to that question, and it changes daily, moment to moment. But when we tell the stories of our lives, the short, funny ones, or the old, long-cherished memories, I think what we'll find is that Jesus was there the whole time, abiding with us as promised. And when we dream the next stories, the ones that haven't happened yet, I believe we're being invited to look for the light and to go there. The invitation we're given today is so simple. Come and see. See and believe. What we're looking for is Jesus, and he is right here with us. Go and see. See and believe. What we're looking for is Jesus, and he's out there right now with everyone. That will always be my favorite story, the one that makes life worth living. Amen.